Greetings, namaste, and shalom, everybody out there in dreamland. I am the Beyond Top Secret Texan. Join me on my podcast, the Beyond Top Secret Texan Podcast, where I explore the outer limits of human abilities, top secret military technologies, the reality of extraterrestrial Earth alliances, secret space wars, advanced cryptozoology, and all subjects of theosophic truth, esotericism, and the occult. Beyond a Top Secret Texan Podcast.
Tuning in to with Aurora Diamondheart for part two for interview, the second episode in this recording. Thank you all in advance tuning in, listening to the broadcast of the Beyond Top Secret Texan. I am the Beyond Top Secret Texan, broadcasting to you from the third coast, the coast with the most, the Gulf Coast of Texas, is my pride and privilege to be doing so. Thank you all, listeners new and old alike, OGs and newbies alike. Check out the archive of episodes on my webpage. Links available through linktree.com/BeyondTopSecretTexan, all one word, lowercase. Linktree.com/BeyondTopSecretTexan is the only link you're gonna need to pull up all of my links, social media, web pages, etc. From Telegram groups to TikTok to Twitter, all of it is there for your selection, for your preference, giving you the variety, giving you the option on how you wish to follow and join the community of true believers out there in dreamland. Check out our oldest episodes, work your way down chronologically, or randomly pick episodes based on their titles. Either way, it is your path to listening to and receiving my information as the cosmos decides. Calling Aurora Diamondheart for part two of her interview. Speaking about her UFO experiences, as well as continuing her testimonial, her story of her personal journey to self-discovery. Incredibly excited. Incredibly excited. Like the present, and I don't want to waste any of this this conversation and everything. I know your time is precious. We'll do another hour and save everything. You know, do what we can, and then no need to go through anything or rush through anything. So if you want to take as much time as you can to explain something, go ahead. But yeah,
all right,
continuation of part two with Aurora Diamondheart. and absolutely ready to go. Your journey, your UFO experiences, what is on your mind, and what do you want to talk about?
Oh, wow, just throw me in there like that. Throw me in the deep end. Okay, then. What do I want to talk about today?
Well, the introduction the introduction and the honeymoon was the first episode. Now you're a regular, and now we're going to talk about...
Now I'm here.
Yeah, now we're going to talk about the real shit and get into the real, you know, bones of the matter, which is, what is this extra-dimensional, energetic life form or species that is communicating to you? You know, what are these communications meaning? What are they building up to? What do you think your greater purpose is? So what do you think the greater connectivity to not only yourself, but the future, mankind, Earth, you know, past, present, future, animal, mineral, and vegetable?
100%. Okay, so, well, let's see. So, I think that the interdimensional being, or the multidimensional being that is communicating through me, I honestly think it's my own higher self. I honestly think that, you know, time is happening all at once. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, even though we're experiencing it as linear, it's actually happening all at once. So there are different versions of you, because consciousness never dies, okay? So when you leave the body, all right, and you go into another one, you experience another lifetime, all right? Like, since it's all happening at once, like I said, I think that this Draco human hybrid, white tone, you said white, was it tone white? I think that it's a version of me from the future. I think this is what I become. Mm-hmm. And I think it knew I needed help. And then it came back. It heard my call. It felt it. And through God's divine love, it chose to grant me with coming back to help me figure out how to fix my timeline. I'm thinking, this is just me speculating right now. I really do. I think that, you know, I've heard a lot of different theories on, this is just really making me think about the one that has to do with, I don't even want to say the word, the jabs. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I've heard that the jabs supposedly are the people who chose to take it, that this is where the split happens for the grays.
Mm-hmm.
The grays and such, right? Okay, so I think that, I think there was trouble here. I think there was real chaos happening at this time during the Earth. I think some other extraterrestrials were messing around with it, and it needed help. And so I heard the call, and I came back to help. You know, and the way they taught me how to do that, the way they communicate through me to do that, they literally told me my purpose was to make dreams come true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so how do I do that? What does that really even mean? What is making someone a dream come true? Because there's so many different types of dreams. I'm not just speaking about dreams where you go to sleep and you have these crazy experiences.
No,
I'm
a vision. A vision, like a destiny building, manifestation process, which is what we call dreams.
Exactly.
No, you're right. Like, people forget that, one, that there are many kinds of dreams, obviously. But no, that the term dream originally replies not to the nighttime phenomenon, but to the, you know, I have a dream, you know, sense of mm-hmm. the word. You know, I have a, no, I mean, like, you have a vision, you have a idea of
it's
hope, a goal.
The song. They've been playing this song in my head all day today. It's an ABBA song, and it's I had a dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, exactly.
And it's literally the truth. It's literally mm-hmm. like, you know, she says, I believe in angels, something good in everyone I see
mm-hmm.
in that song. And I think that that's really the biggest part of it, is I am trying to help people learn how to recognize the good in themselves and in others.
Okay? Absolutely.
Because if you feel like you're bad, if you feel like you don't deserve something, you won't ask, and you won't believe it enough to allow it to come through you to happen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, you have to be inspired by something. Your heart has to be moved by something in order to even have that desire come up. Now, how are you going to create that? You know what I'm saying? Well, the way I've learned how to do it, quite honestly, is to not just ask for it, okay? Ask for Creator to grant it. Ask for, if this is in alignment with the highest love and joy timeline for me and all involved, please let this thing happen.
Now,
you know, and it comes, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to ask, before we get too far down the line, these future selves that are manifesting themselves to communicate to you, who are you?
Yes.
Is this, like, they're interacting with their past life, which is your current life?
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have past life experiences, or is this part of this quantum immortality aspect where you're soon going to evolve, or one day evolve, to a point where you're aware enough to be able to interact at this point of divergence? We said the split between the grays and the tall whites, who are future human trajectories and possibilities. Now, I know this is like a lot. As like this is, I don't want to go too far down what you were saying before we get away from that point. Do you think?
Okay, I have a couple things that came to mind. I do have past life. I think I've been here for a long time.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest messages that they delivered to me was in what I call my most important dream. Mm-hmm. Okay, where it was when right before they came to ask me if we could soul bond or soul trade together. Okay, I had this dream where I was traveling with a group of companions, okay, mm-hmm. and we were chasing a storm. The storm was a shape-shifting storm of black. It was pink light with black goo all, like, warping and shape-shifting. Mm-hmm. And we were chasing this storm. It was shaped like a spear, and it was going down into a valley somewhere in China, it looked like, because there were limestone mountains all around it. And I was sliding down on a silver cord, which I think is so, you know, obviously symbolic of the soul going into a body. Even the spear itself makes me think of an embryo, an egg, you know. So I slid down into this storm, and I knew it was going to be risky. I knew it was my mission. And the second I got into the storm, I got locked out. I got a barrier formed around the sphere, and my companions were locked out from getting to me. And I was so terrified, and I was so upset and heartbroken, and just crying my eyes out deeper than I'd ever cried before in this dream, saying, knowing that this was the risk I took and that I wasn't going to see my companions again. You know, and it took me quite a while to realize, as I was sitting there terrified to move, all this black goo was just shape-shifting around me into all these different terrifying creatures, and I could barely even move. I finally did, though. I've mustered up the courage to move through this black shape-shifting wall, and when I did, a light came on overhead of me, and God has presented himself like this to me in other dreams, so I know this is God speaking to me directly, and he said to me, but little did she know, everything she feared she created, and it would only take her millions upon millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of years to figure this out. That her children were always safe in my hands. And then after he said that, the barrier, actually the black storm, began to dissipate, and it began to settle, and everything cleared, and there were my companions, and we were reunited. So what I took away from this dream, and I've had several synchronicities line up to tell me, describe more in detail how this is actually a true description of what my spirit has been living through being stuck on this planet. I think I came here to help this planet, and I think I've been here for about 500 million years. I think I'm an ancient being, I guess you could say, an immortal, a true immortal. And I've been basically waiting for the right time for the frequency and the light on Earth to be high enough to where I could fully hold back all of myself and be fully here with you guys now. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Does that kind of make sense?
No, it does. And okay. And you're obviously not implying that the 500 million years was all within a human body, but I do believe in the Vedas.
No. This is like...
Well, I also believe in the Vedas, and the Vedas describe billion-year epochs, so 500 million years, life incarnations.
For sure.
Is like, so I believe in the Vedic deep time cosmology of the Hindus and the Indians, and the Tibetans, because the Earth is hundreds of millions of years old of human activity. Empires have risen and fallen thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of times, over millions of times, over to a point where it's innumerable, and there's an infinity of existence because it's cyclical, and it has no true beginning or end. It's just constantly always on. And there's different epochs and eras which distinguish these things as a kind of seasonal, you know, there's seasons of peace and millennia of peace and prosperity, and there's millennia of war and, you know, drought and famine, and there's where we're in right now, the Kali Yuga. But it's not necessarily always human, but it is your soul constantly being intelligent and able to make decisions and suffer karma, dharma. It's surprisingly similar no matter how different it is, because it's always the same players in different bodies moving through the time cycles.
Yes, I agree with you on that one. And actually, right after, I actually had another dream almost immediately after that, and they were showing me actually that when I started off here on Earth, I was so tiny that the ants were big. They were giants. That's how tiny I was. And I know that I absolutely have been working my way up the ladder of consciousness, so to speak, because the studies, the teachings that I read about, okay, talk about the seven consciousness states of man, which they refer to as the Jacob's ladder, okay, where it starts with, you know, the material, like rocks and things of that nature, and then it goes to vegetative, and then it goes to animal, then it goes to man, and then it goes to basically like an artist, and then it goes to a spiritual divine teacher, and then it goes to the God man, which is the seventh highest rung that you can get to. And so I absolutely have, I even have past life memories. One of the biggest ones that they showed me, the most meaningful ones, was this time I was a squid, actually, in the deep ocean. I was in the deep, deep, dark ocean for my whole life. I spent my time here, and I actually, it was bioluminescent blue, and I kind of used my tentacles. I felt like they were hair. They showed them to me. And, you know, it was funny because when they tried to take me there, I was actually really terrified at first because I'm scared of the ocean. I'm scared of the deep ocean. But I went with them. And so I sat with them through this, and I watched myself live this lifetime as this bioluminescent squid. And towards the end of my life, something happened where I couldn't keep myself down in the water any longer. I had to go up. And I found out later on, synchronistically, that's actually something that happens to them, is when they start to die,
they have to go up to the surface.
They need more oxygen, and so they start to rise, right? And so I started rising to the surface, and I was so scared because I lived my whole life in the deep, dark ocean, you know? And when I got to the surface, I saw the sun. I saw the sun for the first time. I remember seeing it, and I was so moved by seeing the sun, because some part of me inside of me thought, this is the representation of God. I'm looking at God. And at that moment, I took my last breath and I left my body. And I turned back around and I looked at myself, and then I went on to the next level. So I do. I think people, when they do past life regressions and stuff like that, don't be surprised if they're not all human.
No, absolutely.
Don't be surprised if they're not even all of this planet. Some people are going to remember lifetimes where they weren't even here because they're just coming in, you know, things of that nature.
No, I know that personally.
I just have a love for Earth, so I've just been here for a long time. So.
No, absolutely. I understand that from personal experience. I can verify that. Absolutely verify that through an NDE, a near-death experience, where not only did you have a life flashing back, or not you, but I have a life flashing back experience, but other lifetimes, not even human, one which was blind due to some circumstance and could feel only their mouth and lived their entire life as either a single-celled organism or just a subterranean worm or something, but at the same time, still deriving meaning from that existence and having a consciousness that was distinct. And that was always one of the weirdest experiences that I've ever experienced, was being conscious in the body and lifetime of a creature who never had any sight, like you said, sub abyssal, pitch black type, maybe in a cave, that would never ever see the sun, or know what they look like, or know their environment, and moved only through sense of touch and through the locomotion of their hunger, you know, to make sense of the world through eating literally what they were blind to, and then eventually being eaten themselves, and then moving on, like you said, through other lifetimes throughout the years, and going through an evolutionary ladder through the animal kingdom. Because what we know as mankind and all life, alien, if it's human, if it's on Earth, that is one life form. That's a superorganism that all works together no matter what species we have defined it as. It's one. If you actually have been through that thing, they're all originating from the same single-celled creatures that are just compiled like Legos into different building forms, and they all interact with each other to sustain each other. But it is a cellular-based, mitochondrial hive mind beyond people's egos and understandings of separation between animals. It's all literally one super animal that we know as the Earthling or Gaia creature.
100%. 100% agree with you on that.
Yep.
You know, it's something weird to stop and think about, too, just the fact that all of these cells are working together, even, to make us be able to animate and do these things, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes I just sit there and I wonder how interesting would it be to wonder if those cells even particularly have consciousness somehow of their own.
Oh, of course.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what if we're just, you know, it's like that fractal thing. It's just like you keep looking in, there's just more and more and more life the more you...
Of course.
It
really is. There are more cells and single-celled organisms in our body than there is the population on Earth of human beings. You know, and to think about that, your gut bacteria, your inner cells, your skin mites through the expanse of the terrain that is your skin, your hair follicles and the environments that they pose as forests. People simply... do not stop and wonder or behold the majesty that is life itself. They can't take it in. They can't really take it in. How much life exists on one single tree? How much life exists on one single person?
Yes.
Or one, you know, a whale? They're basically swimming islands of ecosystems. Life is crazy like that.
They've lost the wonder.
Yeah, you'll see the interconnectivity of it. And it's really, amazing, people just really, they don't, first of all, that's kept secret. I believe that is a esoteric knowledge. You have to be really intelligent and self-motivated to start reading biology books enough to learn that, every animal has a parasite specifically evolved to it, and you're like, what? And you're like, yeah, everything has gut bacteria that's specifically tailored to it, and, but you can, cross, and that's important because exactly how could you have evolved to digest food without gut bacteria that's not human, that it's a symbiotic life and cycles like that, like the pairing of it, and it goes way beyond just like a fish that cleans another fish. It's like, you know, every life form itself has to exist with mitochondria in their DNA, and mitochondria is literally an alien organism in our every single cell, operating it, literally powering it. And that convergent evolution made all life possible. It really is...
it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing. It's absolutely beyond ancient aliens. It's beyond aliens came and built the pyramids. It's beyond that in scale. It's like a... You know, is that to actually see the animal kingdom for what it is, or life itself on Earth for what it is. It absolutely is more important than people think.
You know what's funny is that, speaking of things of that nature, you know that you can, when you grow food, if you take and you put, this is going to be sounding really, really weird, but just came to my mind. If you put your own spit around it, when you go to plant it, it'll actually grow more specific for you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
Curing your allergies?
I'm like, that's just, like stuff like that. It's teamwork here. It's teamwork.
Or how much, if you look into that, how many plants and human beings have evolved together? Like the idea of human chemistry and marijuana, cannabis, or food.
Oh, 100%.
Herbs,
yeah.
Things mm-hmm. like that. Just the idea, psilocybin, the idea that mankind was specifically evolved because we were eating psychoactive plants is always something that people are like, oh, dude, yeah, that makes sense. But every plant we were eating has evolved us in the process of eating it. And it's like, yeah, exactly. We are exactly. being literally evolved by the plants in our environment and not the other way around. Even though, yeah, like, it's our symbiotic nature with trees blows people's minds. That literally trees and mankind evolved together. Yeah. Like, that blows people's minds. And that's just, it's human beings are worth saving. They're worth going back in time and saving. And it's important to know that our evolution is obviously not finished. It has nothing. That's the great mystery, is where is this going? Where is the potential leading to? And
I think what it is. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think that what it really is that these bodies are so much more complex and intelligent in what they are capable of than what we've been. Obviously, they keep that a secret. You know what I'm saying? Because what I think is that over the evolution, time of evolution, that enough of us. Am I really going to get into this? Okay. So, what I was shown one time by Jesus, okay, because I asked Jesus, I was like, you know, what is so special about this whole, you know, Christ and bloodline and all that kind of stuff? And he showed me that what was so special about him was that, because I do believe that he lived, I do believe that he had children, and he was basically saying that what they were doing, what they were trying to do, was get enough of this holding high frequencies, DNA, into as much human beings as possible. And they showed it to me like a capillary bed. Okay, they showed it to me like the blood coming through and how every single cell gets nourished to the point where every red blood cell even gets pushed through these little capillary beds, this single file line, you know? And so he was saying, like, that is what's going to happen with the Earth, is that all these people are going to be basically ready to be activated, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so, and once one flame ignites, and then another flame ignites, and another flame ignites, and we step into our full creator power, right? Like, this is what's going to lift humanity up to be able to rise to their full potential, so to speak, and be able to be real participants in the universe outside of the Earth, so to speak.
No, I think that's absolutely true. Yeah. I think that the whole mind game thing they're prepping us for, predictive programming us for, is the age of the superhuman, and that's going to come around very quickly. Either through genetic engineering, but they want us to get morally and philosophically able to handle our bodies that we will be getting soon through these evolutionary methods, you know, transhumanism, etc. And I think The Boys is absolutely predictive programming about that. I don't know if you've ever seen that, because that's the thing. They want people to be ethical enough to handle those powers. And they show people in The Boys what happens if you give great power to people who are not spiritual and who are not inclined. They turn into madmen and maniacs, and that's why they've withheld that power from the 20th century. Because very much that show is a critique on the 20th century. And they say, see, if we gave you powers, you would just have used them to kill people and make money and be greedy and, like, crazy and perverts. And, like, that's just bullshit. And as they, like, that's why...
Well, that's exactly, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what they're like, hey, Butcher, now you get powers. And there's a connection with the military, with the idea of Soldier Boy and that whole thing. And I say, like, it's very deeply metaphor, and obviously done very straightforward, but it's like, if you actually know what you're seeing, you're like, oh, there's a lot of symbolism. A lot of, Torchbearer, the Lightbearer, Lucifer... And she's the woman, she's the blonde woman, she's literally the good, she's the one who turned on him, the rebel angel who turned on this pantheon of evil. I was like, it's very deep, and you actually look at it and you go, no, okay, that's why they get made.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah.
They tell us so much through these shows and these movies and such like that. The thing I always look out for, though, is where are they mutating or twisting the story for their own benefit to keep us still, like, give us a little bit of the information, but not... enough to really unlock the things that we need to unlock, because I think these things, these gifts, these powers and stuff, you know, telepathy, you know, manifestation, all that type of stuff, I do think that it gets unlocked, and I think that the way it gets unlocked is going to be based on your soul's in spiritual development.
Well, millions of people are waking up right now. Millions of people are waking up around the world right now. They're not stopping it.
Naturally and organically. Yes. Exactly. And not with transhumanism and not needing all these.
That's what I think they're trying to stop from people. They're trying to put this idea of trauma-based awakening deep in people's minds so that if they awaken, it has to be with some kind of trauma only. So it makes it very unappealing and very hard and difficult because of the pain process, which is unnecessary and completely bogus. But also they're trying to take away the spirituality and everything, regardless of what spirituality it is. You see positive mentions of Jesus Christ or, Buddha or Moses? That's specifically the one that I always irk because these, the crypto Zionists who are not Jews but who take the place, they don't even mention Moses because they hate freedom, they hate independence, they hate people who saved other people, they hate people who lived for other people, they hate people who know the truth. And like I said, they don't believe even in Moses, then they don't believe in Jesus, and they don't believe in Buddha. People who gave up things, who gave up their wealth, who gave up their, but gained, immortality, gained enlightenment. And they don't want you to see these true spiritual figures because you'll see yourself in them, and you'll start, recognizing that they were meant for you, no matter who you are.
Exactly.
And they will always keep that away from the public, and now that they have control of the media under the tense of, well, we don't want to offend anyone, and we don't want to make it so that, that's what I'm saying. They'll show Satan every day, though. They'll show the devil. They'll show these evil things, and they'll make a joke at that, but they won't ever show positive spirituality because they always want you to see it as a negative thing, like only as a scary thing.
They're seeding the mind because they're still doing the programming, and that's why people got to turn that stuff off for a little while.
They got to stop being atheists. I mean, they gotta stop being atheists. They gotta stop being evil. Like, it really is. Your only choices are in the mainstream is an atheist agenda or a Satanist agenda, which is basically just atheism with fancy clothes.
100%.
Yeah, and people just gotta get off of that materialistic vibe, and then they'll start waking up. It'll come to them. And they'll start getting the. Receiving, they'll start, picking up the signal and stuff like that. The vibe will rise within themselves, and then they'll be able to rise.
They're so stuck. They're just so stuck in the fear and the trauma that they make sure to put us through that it's so hard for people to even have enough mental calmness, so to speak. If you're working a 9-to-5 job all the time, and you're worried about putting food on the table, are you going to have time? They want you to be distracted so that way you won't do that inner work. You won't go inside and look to see who you really are and what life really means. They've literally robbed us of our connection to source, of what our true meaning is, of what the meaning of life and things around us are. And it's, I just really want to help people figure that back out and turn that back on.
Mm-hmm. People, they got the working man so bent over a barrel because it's not even a it's a totally rigged system. It's not even fair. They got them in a hole, and they're making them dig even more every day because it hurts their health. It hurts their mental health. It hurts their time. Like I said, they take away their free time and their prime time of their lives to make them work for years.
Keeps them locked in this ideal that they can't create anything better for themselves.
Exactly.
Keeps their abundance channel. All that, the lack mentality, is what they want to drive home.
Yeah.
Because you will literally create what you feel like is true. What you believe to be true is what you will see in the world.
Modern day serfs.
So people got to take this really serious.
It's modern day serfdom.
What you believe.
Yeah. Because they stop people from reading.
Yeah, what you believe is what you're going to create. We're going to keep talking.
Oh, sorry. There's a second delay. There's a second delay.
We're both excited. No, we're both so excited to be talking. I'm excited. No, go ahead.
There might be a delay. I was going to say, it's modern-day serfdom because just like in the Middle Ages, they didn't let the serfs read, so the serfs couldn't write, and the serfs couldn't really make any plans or anything, and that kept them from achieving their potential. And just like now, they don't let people really have the free time to read. They don't let people really have the free time to dream or to think for themselves, and it robs them of their potential. They can only live in their little apartments.
It's fake. the imagination is fake. Why would you bother wasting your time? That's for children, right? That's for children. Don't waste your time just sitting there daydreaming. But that's literally what creates it.
Yeah.
Those are the things. Like, how do you even know what you want if you don't have to take the time to daydream about it?
Exactly. Or you don't have the time to express yourself. And that was a... I just read something about Kurt Vonnegut today, actually. It was kind of an inspirational. He says, if you want to start... be creative and just write it and destroy it. Don't tell anyone you did it, because it's the act of becoming. It's the act of the art itself. You don't have to have an audience. Like, write a poem and then rip it up and then throw it away and don't tell anyone you wrote it, because you'll be rewarded with the act of creating, and keep it personal because you don't want to let anyone criticize it or take it away from you. And that's the thing. Like, no one will tell you that advice in 2020. No one will tell you, do something for yourself. Do something with no attention necessary. Just do something because you want to do it, because that empowers you, and that seed will grow. And it's like, you don't need the consensus of others. You don't need that filter of their approval. You are then seeing yourself with respect, like I say, as an artist or as a creator or as an expressive, and that's so anti-establishment, that's so anti-corporation, because they can't sell you that. They can't market that unless they can make money off you, which they'll allow. But I mean, have you seen this shit? It's like a mainstream record label signed a virtual reality rapper, and you're like, this is dystopia. You can't make this shit up. Like, this is what they're doing with what we call art. This is literally synthetic art. And it's like synthetic. And you're like, you cannot make the writing on the wall any clearer that they're going to start making AI do all the visual art, animation for cartoons and movies, CGI, movie. The AI is going to write movies in 10 years. I promise you that all art, all creation is going to be done by the machine and by the corporations who control that machine, and that humans will not be considered artists. Human art will be considered a second-rate thing. And, you know, people who will want to listen to human-made art will be considered, like, classical musical enthusiasts. You know, like, just like a weirdo minority group that's like, you know, why would you want to listen to a human musician? You can listen to an AI, you know, play perfect.
Let's hope we can hijack that. Let's hope we can change that one, because I would not be satisfied with that. And honestly, you really just touched on one of the keys to how I honestly try to find myself and be my most authentic self. Is that is literally what I do. I go into myself before I make a decision on how I'm going to express myself. I just go inside myself and I pretend that no one else in the world exists. I pretend that no one else is watching me. It's just for me. What would I do if it was just for my own enjoyment? What would I pick? What would I call myself? What would I draw? What would it be? You know? And that's how I feel like people, they just really, they have to go back and they have to really get used to that and really get into themselves and realize, like, that is God. That is the part of you that is uniquely God.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be the most beautiful thing for everyone in the world to see. Their most authentic self is going to be, it's going to radiate with something different than what other people have. And they're going to wonder what it is. And they're going to be like, wow, what is this different about this person? It's just authenticity and sincerity. You know, and with those two things, I think we can probably take back that artist thing, because I would not be satisfied with
I think people need to realize.
It's so disappointing.
You're right. That art will always be in the eye of the beholder and will always be in the heart of the artist. That's the thing that's human. The machine can't... I don't think machines can ever replace humans. What I think, though, is that...
They will certainly try.
We need to start seeing the writing on the wall. That we live in a society that does not care about the human potential, but rather the machine's potential. Like, that's the thing. Like, we need to start seeing that we don't live in a society where machines work for men. We live in a society where men work for machines. Like, we live in the fucking world of the tomorrow, but it's, you know, the machines aren't replaced. The machines are our boss. Like, this is how the world is. And we will be known as a society that valued these corporate type entities more than we did the labor of artisans and craftsmen. You know, just think about how many more people eat today alone at McDonald's or Burger King than they did at a mom and pop restaurant or with a real chef or burger diner place, you know, like a real independently run kitchen. Like, no, people want corporations. People want that. And people are giving all their energy in our society to that. And that's what they're going to be. Very much they get what they deserve when their history is being rewritten by that, when they're being ruled by that. It's because all their energy is being given from themselves to that. And that explains why we get the world we live in, 2022.
They're literally, they're like funneling our life force energy to the channels that they want it to go.
Yep.
And when you take back that power, mm-hmm. yeah, like it's so, that's freedom.
Yep.
You know, it's freedom. When you take back your own, what's the word I'm looking for, authority to, like, critically think about,
your desire.
Not that I always make the best choices. Yeah. I still eat some candy. You know, I still have a sweet tooth.
But when you take back your desires, when you take back your ability to not only that, but moderate yourself and control, like show some self-control, you know, like...
Yes.
When you can say, like,
self-discipline.
Because that's what they get you with. They spoiled so many generations of people in America with that greasy, sugary goodness that now they got them hooked. And that's extending to everything, including the thing that they never thought they could get. Music, art, intellectual pursuits, schools, things like that. It'll be soon like, you know, the University of Michigan brought to you by Taco Bell.
Yeah,
you know, that'll
pretty much. Wait, isn't the University of Florida? That's where Gatorade comes from, right?
Exactly. No, you're absolutely right. It's a corporation. It's just a bigger thing. Now, in the last 20 minutes of this hour, we were going to speak to you about your UFO experiences. You said you had some to share.
I have
a UFO broadcast or a UFO podcast.
I have a couple.
And we are obviously,
I would love to tell you about them.
Always very interested in that. Obviously. Seeing a UFO in the sky is not the same as having your multidimensional self come through time and space to tell you that you were divinely destined to lead a spiritual awakening in the revolution of our species or evolution of our species. But still,
yeah.
we do love our UFOs, and we do love to share our UFO stories, because it's kind of like a bonding and bridging experience to always be like, I saw fire in sky many moons ago.
yes, exactly. Well, first I went... Well, actually, I had my own UFO encounters before I actually went to East City Ranch, where I actually got to see a lot of UFOs in the sky. If anyone wants to see some for sure, pretty easy, you definitely can travel there, and you won't not see one.
East Eddie Ranch.
Okay, like they come in and out of the mountain, and just fly, like a whole fleet of them were there when I was there last time. But I have a little bit more up close and personal encounters that I can tell you about. I'm going to share with you right now. So this is maybe 2.5 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. And one night, about 3 a.m, I actually had forgotten about this till the next day, because something, I was like, oh, I have to remember this. And I woke up about 3 a.m, okay, and there was, to use the bathroom, because I get up a lot at night, actually, because I have young children, and there was this bright light, this super, super bright light outside my house, outside my window, and it wasn't making any noise. It was like a feeling. It was like a whoosh, 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 like a feeling over me, like a vibration. Okay? And I immediately got scared, and I jumped into my bed, and I covered up myself with the blanket, and I closed my eyes, and I just said, oh God, please don't take me. Please don't take me. Please don't take me. And as sure enough, I felt them literally pull me out of my body and pull me wherever it is that they took me. And that was all I remembered from that particular experience, because I didn't want to remember any more than that. So when I woke up the next day, and the man I was living with at the time, my now ex, he was there, And something in me sparked to remember, and so I told him. And so after I told him about it, I thought to myself, oh man, I missed my opportunity. I missed my opportunity to meet some real aliens. Like, what's wrong with me? Mm. It might have been scary, but I should have wished to stay conscious. So I was like, well, hopefully I get that opportunity again. Next time I won't make that mistake. And sure enough, I did get that opportunity again. A couple months later, they came again, and they were outside my window again. It was the brightest light that you can imagine, like a spotlight in the middle of the night, just right over top of my house. And so I got into bed. I was laying there, and I felt them take me out of my body again. Mm-hmm. Only this time, I told myself, I was like, I'm going to remember this. I'm going to stay conscious. I'm going to remember this. And so I think that's what did it. I think it was my intention to want to remember that allowed me to remember. So I was pulled up out of my body, and suddenly it was like I was on a elevator. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it was like whoosh, 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 elevator lifted me up to this room, and the doors open, and it leads into a room that looks like a strange little office building space. Okay, and there was a table there, and there were three humans there.
Like a doctor's office?
It was more like a working space, like
a waiting room.
Like there were it was the actual work room we were going to be working at. I knew that.
Oh, I get you. No, I get what you're saying. Workstation where it's like a table and like chairs around it. Like you're going to be like conferencing, conference room or whatever. Yeah, conference room.
Yes. And there was even a countertop to my left, and there were windows at the very top of the room on both sides. And so I came in through the doors, and the three humans that were there, they were like, oh, your daughter got here a half hour ago. And I was like, my daughter? And I thought it was my daughter, Sarah, they were talking about. And they said, yeah, she's over there under the table. And so I walked over to this table, and I leaned over to look, and this was not my daughter. This was a hybrid baby. And she had, like, a little bit of blonde hair, very, very patchy blonde hair. And she was crying. And I picked her up to hold her. And as I was picking her up, my eye got caught of a set of feet. They were gray feet. And I slowly scrolled up this being, okay? They were wearing a doctor's, a lab coat, and they were holding some kind of, it looked like a clipboard, but I don't really know for sure what it was. And they had a big, huge, large gray head, and with big gray eyes, but it was like, it was a different kind. It wasn't like the typical gray looking. It looked like bulbous towards the back. And so as I scrolled up and looked at this, I immediately felt terror, that immediate fight or flight, which I knew I'd heard about. And I was like, I wanted to experience it. I wanted to know what that felt like. And I wanted to see if I could overcome it. And so it happened, and I immediately dropped the baby. And then I realized, oh my God, I am face to face with a real alien right now. And so I got excited, and I'm like, oh my God, like, hi, you know, like, oh my God, you're real. And he did not like that. And he telepathically told me, do not talk to him, do not look at him, or he will put me to sleep. And he started to make me feel like I was going to pass out. So I was like, okay, I guess I won't talk to him, you know?
Classic gray assholes. Classic gray assholes.
Yeah, right? For real.
I hate them.
For real.
I hate them so much. So, everything I hear about the grays, I'm like, those assholes. Like, everything is just those fucking assholes.
I know. Everything I read about them, too. Everything. So what they had us doing was, what it looked like to me, what my brain interpreted it as, was they were having us build ship parts, little tiny ship parts that looked like Legos. Mm. They actually looked like little tiny UFOs. And I was like, okay, so we're doing that for a while. And then we were done, okay? And they left us, and they let us have a break. And so I was talking to these three humans, and I was like, oh, my God, you guys. I was like, don't you know about, you know, Corey Good or David Wilcock? I'm like, don't you know about this stuff? I'm like, don't you realize we need to find out where we're at? I'm like, we need to. So I got on top of this countertop, and I looked out the windows, and on one side, I could see red sands everywhere. The sun was out. It was starting to go down. It was going to set. Okay, but it was bright red sands everywhere. And on the other side of the room, it was dark purple. It was dark, dark purple, the sky behind me. Mm-hmm. And as I got down off this countertop, I noticed to the right that they had taken all of my jewelry off that I'd been wearing. okay? Because I always slept with my jewelry on, like all these like four, like eight rings and like necklaces. They had taken all the metal off of me, and I wondered, and I was like, why did they take all my jewelry off of me? I thought to myself, and as I was thinking that, a little tiny gray alien came in, okay? And he was like, he had like these cleaning supplies. It was like, all right, guys, it's time to get ready to go. Gotta clean up. And so I was cleaning up, and I was looking at him, and I was talking to him telepathically. And I just said to him, I said, wow, I said, I'm not going to remember any of this, am I? And he smirked, and he said, nope. And then I was back in my body. But guess what? I did remember. So good on them.
Well, right? Because you had set the intention. Because you had set your intentions stronger than there, and they underestimated you in typical gray asshole fashion. And I've gone on record as stating before how much I hate the grays and my interactions with them throughout my own life, famously even breaking one's neck because I just was so pissed that he had shown up, like they had shown up and to abduct me when they did at that moment. My own encounter that time being in the Navy barracks in 2011, when I went to sleep for a nap because I was very, very exhausted, and was instantly awoken to a gray alien sitting on the counter, or the tabletop right there next to my bed, and you said fight or flight, choosing fight at that time and reaching up and throttling it. And breaking its neck like a house plant. Like I said, I have no remorse for that because grays are assholes, and everything I know about them makes me care very little about their existence and hate everything they do. Just because they're so snarky. Just because they have that arrogance and no souls. And I'm like, it's like a house plant talking shit to you, really. It is. It's like, like, you know, you're just like, But absolutely intense experience to process and to hear it. Did you remember it instantly and write it down? Did it take you time to
I didn't need to write it down. It's
you just instantly
what did I do yesterday?
Yeah, like you know it was one
I
of those
carried with me. Yeah,
because there's the different categories. I don't know if it's an official categorization of it, but I want to make at least a categorization effort of it where it describes when you have these experiences how long it takes you to remember them. There's no shame or fault or, you know, guilt or anything. It's not a bad thing, but some people do take years to process, even if they remember them very clearly for whatever reason. Oh, some people, like yourself, it's like if they spent the night out with friends and they're just like, yeah, we went here, we went here, we did this, and it's just like that the next morning. You're like, oh yeah, we went over there and then we did this and then we did that. Like, I absolutely am not forgetting a detail about it. And that seems to be that kind of category for that one, so I'll put it in that mentally. And do you have any more? I mean, would you like to share any more? Any unique, like you said, sightings or abduction experiences in Aurora Diamond Heart's history?
Because I've had so many strange encounters.
Any with a reptilian or any with reptilian or what you would call maybe even a darker or negative entity?
You know, I do think I've had encounters with them, but not so much that I've been able to
be able
see
to
with
play
my
them
mind's eye as much as like they've been influenced. They like influenced people around me. Mm-hmm. I could feel because the person themselves, their energy would change.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would always go to the things that would hurt me the most. You know what I'm saying? They wouldn't be able to, it's like it wouldn't last for more than, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes. And then they would feel really bad about everything afterward, you know? But it was like, dude, like,
well, demon possession,
what did you just let into you, you know?
That's a big reason why people need to wake up. They don't think that this stuff can affect them. They don't think the stuff can hurt them or the people that they love. People who are not awoke, are not aware of the spiritual battlefield that we're on, are easy targets and easy prey for these dark, malevolent, hyperdimensional entities, especially reptilians who basically hijack people and then cause a bunch of bullshit. Yeah, using them like puppets. That happens a lot. Absolutely.
You know, the thing that we were talking about a little bit last week was we started going to the Mothman, because I'm pretty sure, honestly, that that some of the entities that were working for someone that
we were going to speak about the Mothman.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was the Mothman that were working through him, because I had another friend that synchronistically they had a dream that lined up perfectly with it. They had a dream actually that a succubus was in charge of these three Mothmen, and these Mothmen were going to the men in the community, and they were cutting slits on their life body, and they were harvesting energy through blood is what they were doing. And it just so happens that same night that she had this dream, the person I was talking to, the person that this happened with, I was like, well, you know, if it is a succubus, if there is something like that that is being involved with people around me, then usually they show up in some kind of dream state. You know, they'll show up with a really intense sexual encounter in the dream state. And so I just stopped and I just asked this person, I said, have you had any, you know, intense sexual dreams lately? And they were like, oh, yeah, I had this one. And it just so happened to be the same night that my friend had this dream. And then that evening was the evening that he basically, he's just like attacking me with these things. They're just coming, they're just working through. And of course, he feels bad about it afterward. But it's the holes in people's auras. It's the holes, it's the things that they've left unhealed in themselves that can resonate with that creature, with that entity, okay, that allows them in. That's why it's so important to do the inner spiritual healing, the childhood wound healing. Because as long as that is undone, you leave yourself open and vulnerable for these things to get in.
I agree. I agree, you know? Entirely. Especially when it comes to the parasites of human energy, specifically the sexual ones, succubi, incubi. People usually keep that very secret. But if you were really to know what people think and what people do in private, you would never look at them ever. You would never look at society, at anyone ever again the same. The depths at which men can get to just to get off, and what they really are into and then pursue, those secrets are exploited on the subconscious level, on the energy light body level, because you can't hide that on your light body level. They think that the materialistic people, they think this is, you know, oh, if I clear my browser history, no one can ever see, you know, what I'm watching or anything. No, on the light body level, on the inner soul level, you're like a book. Everything you do is written on you. And these beings can come, you know, like I said, in your dreams, manifest themselves, exploit you and your desires. And this is, I think, a mass scale of things. Like, it's just like the Wendigo. It's just like the Skinwalker. It's a type of native to America, indigenous djinn or evil species that has evolved to parasite off of intelligent species, human beings being their preferred prey and everything. But like I said, the Mothman, there's more than one of them. It's not one Mothman, it's Mothman.
Oh, yeah.
They're a shadow insectoid.
Many, yes.
Yeah. They take over people. They literally can like zombify people and live in their homes. And basically these houses were the ones where, like, say severe child abuse happens, drug addiction, things like that. And then they literally corrupt and curse these areas. Like West Virginia, the Mothman happened in West Virginia. West Virginia now is a pretty shady and scummy and dark and very depressing, negative place with high drug addiction, high overdoses, high abuse rates, high poverty. And there's no mistake about that. It's one of like the most impoverished states of the Union, and they're probably up there next to Mississippi and Alabama. I was like, one of those. No mistake, all those places have Mothman sightings. They have sightings of this cryptid. Yeah. Chicago.
Yes, because of the frequency frequency of the people. You know what
exactly.
I'm saying? They're so, it's the frequency of the space that they're attracted to that because it's more comfortable for them.
Yep. Well, people always associate.
They feel better in those lower levels.
People associate very commonly with the classic Mothman story of the bridge collapsing, and they're like, see, it predates disasters. It doesn't predate disasters. It eats human misery. and human misery occurs at disasters, thus it's like a buffet for it. But really, it stalks around pursuing miserable people and hunting them like an owl hunts mice. And basically soaring around, and when he picks up an appropriate level of misery, is then able to go and possess that person. John Keel, when he investigated Mothman, talked about Indrid Cold, how it would call him on the phone and speak to him as a human being with intelligence, and that it was like more of a possessing demon. And I mean, I know you know that. I'm just helping to elucidate that point. I know, I totally agree that Mothmen are a more severe threat to people than they are being talked about or referenced in modern day literature. It's very interesting that you had multiple Mothmen possessing your friends, and that that could possibly have been coordinated with higher power and intent, maybe to derail you or to antagonize you or to terrorize you, to kind of turn you into more of like a negative being.
They're trying to get something. They were trying to get at me, and they almost succeeded, and I really had to figure out how to take my own advice at that point and just really remember who I am, because really it's about being unshakable in who you are. That's why it's so important to figure out who you are, because then no one else can tell you, oh, you're this thing, or you're that thing, or you're this, you know? And it's like, wait, no. Mm-hmm. No, I know who I am, and this is who I am. So anything that you're saying, it's something coming from somewhere else.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
that
exactly.
that has to be addressed.
No, and it can absolutely possess people and turn them insane. Like I said, if you actually see what people are willing to entertain, it's very obvious that something is...
It's horrible, yeah.
Yeah, if something is pushing them to extremes of, like, body dysmorphia and, like, gender confusion and things like that. And it's like, it definitely is all sexually based. It's all psychosexual. It's all...
It's truly insidious.
Yeah, it starts...
Neurological loops they create.
Yeah.
It's not just that. It's actual etheric implants.
Fetishes,
things
like that.
In our bodies to harvest that energy.
Oh, and it's one thing to say it, but to see it.
Yeah. Turn them off is so hard. Yeah, it's...
To see that shit, and you're like,
and,
wow, people are fucking per...
And,
like,
and you know, something that you said to me earlier, you mentioned in the chat that we were... talking in about spider beings too, and you made me think about the fact that talking about all the browser history of people, and I have addressed that actually in one of my lives before about what I've seen as far as pornography sites and how insidious they are, just with how the programming is with the titles. And people don't realize, like, even if you look at the title, you're like, oh, that's stupid, I'm not even gonna think about that, but you know, like, that title is there, the words are there, it's penetrating it. Not just that, but the space you're actually going to. When you view these things, you're going to these places. And what I saw in the astral was that these porn sites, they're connected to this black box technology that literally tags people with, like, astral spiders, these spiders that come out of these boxes to get to people.
Absolutely.
Okay? And, yeah, and so it's just... I just feel so bad.
And that's
so
a continuation.
For the men out there that are struggling with that, you know?
That's a continuation of they started with the sex, drugs, rock and roll phenomenon, when they started literally programming us to accept these harmonics and this energy as music and as rock and roll and as art, as hedonism, right? And that was like, it really was drug addiction, which is all miserable, right? The causation of misery. But through the idea of excess and having it be pleasurable, which the spiders feed on, the galactic spiders feed on, get like Ziggy Stardust and the spiders from Mars. Like, that idea of this is absolutely represented through the idea of the spider web being a tattoo that drug dealers and drug addicts typically get, because it represents addiction. You know, and the idea that spiders are addiction, that's what it is. It's addiction. That's what they're feeding on. It's very symbolic, like Stranger Things. All right, so yeah, Stranger Things represented the Mind Flayer, or that monster it had that was like that big spider that was interdimensional, and it was like attacking that town over the mall. The mall if you're not complete Pollyanna and naive, is where kids went to be miserably hedonistic, engaging in casual sex, drug addiction, fighting, skating, getting into trouble, stealing, and basically running around like hellions, at least for like a couple of decades. So the idea of it being like, you know, on the mall is showing you that everything that Americans wanted as entertainment, you know how much shit goes down in a movie theater? As I'm saying, like, people are cheating on each other. People are, like, you know, just, you know, it's same thing. These places are not, like you said, like, good places. Clubs, nightclubs, all that stuff we think is, like, you know, places we go for fun, bars, are places where people are miserable and the energy is siphoned off of. And they usually have, like I said, if you had the eyes to see frequencies and shit that are like every time someone goes to like that Travis Scott show, every time people go to these music festivals, they're increasingly going to these like human sacrifice themed concerts and things like
they're participating in rituals they don't even realize they're participating in music events, especially music events and even movie theaters. Mm-hmm. They're meant to get you in a hypnotic state so that way you open your consciousness up to accepting all of the programming of the words of the songs that are coming in, or the story of the movie that's coming in. They are literally meant to do that. They're meant to get you into that state to where you're more open, you know. Mm-hmm. And anything you listen to, let me tell you, anything you listen to repetitively, any song, anything of that nature that you do repetitively, you are programming your mind.
Which is the pornography angle.
It's just like a subliminal message. Yeah.
Anything that you do repetitively, they get people to think a man thinks of sex every 7 seconds or something.
Yeah.
And that is the most repetitive thing
the
man does.
That's why the radio stations only play this trash music anymore. And it's always repetitive. There's repeating songs, you know, and that's why I refuse to listen to radio anymore. Like, mm-hmm. We always go back to the music stuff, but I only ever pick music that is going to inspire love and feelings of joy in me, even if the words aren't always, they're a little tricky, you know what I'm saying? Because they're not always going to be perfect songs for every single thing that you listening to.
We look at the access people have to each other now. You can now see into each other's lives a lot more. And this is one of the weird, like, ironic things, because we started this conversation, and it's a good way to loop it together, that people were being excluded from the conversation. People were being excluded out of the loop by these corporations who were automating the world, that with the rise of, like, amateur pornography and things like that, that people are allowed to see into each other's world. So you see that there are problems that are not problems, but seen by them, but that these are trends. And, like, one of them was, like, the rise of BDSM in, like, popular culture. And it was surprising to me how many people were viewing this as something that was desirable during the 50 Shades of Grey era. And it was like,
They've totally inverted the pain-pleasure
phenomenon. The pain-pleasure thing.
Yes, of the body. Like, they're literally reversing it. It's not organic and it's not natural human sexuality to want to have pain inflicted upon you.
But it's done by everybody.
It's just not.
But it's done by so many people.
I know,
like,
now it's just the normal thing.
Girl next door style. Yeah, girl next door. You can look at a healthy, young, suburbanite white couple, and you're like, at night, she's got a ball gag in her mouth and, like, nipple clamps. And I'm saying, like, and that's what these people are willingly choosing to do and give their energy to in literally their marital bed. And it's not something that's been always done. It's not. It has existed forever, of course, but it's only so ubiquitous and universal because of the programming that the spiders are obviously giving it to the mankind, which is this pain-pleasure reversal role. Like you said, the idea of creating in people, like, zombies that are just out to degrade and destroy themselves, and they're like convinced that they need to do it or want to do it because it's like who they really are, and it's very strange.
Absolutely.
I think it's because they're not awake. If you're asleep, if you're sleepwalking, you know, if you're sleepwalking, it you're living in a waking nightmare. And at this point, I think at this point, Freddy Krueger is absolutely in control of the consensual dream sleepwalking reality, figurative speaking. And it is absolutely, people are being fed to Moloch in their personal lives. They're being fed to Babylon in their personal lives, where men are becoming sodomites at an alarmingly large rate, and women are becoming Jezebels at an equally large rate. And it's very much blurring the lines between what's just casual, you know, for pleasure, sex, to what is a ritual or a fetish or fetishization of something. It's very much becoming where that's the norm in most communities now. Even so, like, he's like the regular, quote unquote, regular folks, the lay folk. And that's fucked up. Messed up. But I think that's because of Mothman. I think that's because of Wendigo. Honestly, I have a theory that all the violence, all the gun violence, is because of Wendigo.
Wendigo.
Yeah, it's all Indian curses. It's all Native American curses. The Mothman is responsible for a lot of the pseudosexuality or the misery of disasters. There's a lot of natural disasters in America. A lot of natural disasters every year. And that's because of the Mothman type prophecy of it. Mothman prophecies, the ghost dances, the Sioux Indian, Blackfoot Indian, they did the ghost dance at Wounded Knee. And that is the reason why America has a lot of ghosts. Ghosts are everywhere. People, like, places are possessed with ghosts and other spiritual entities. Basically, all the portals to these nether realms were opened up. And I believe that fully, that there's, like, the spirit of the skinwalker in the west part of the United States that's spreading out. And there was even a book written, I don't think the title meant this, but it was called Skinwalkers in the Pentagon. And I was like, what if shape-shifting, obviously evil entities were assuming places of command and in power and authority in America and able to, and you don't even... People are so unprepared to even accept that, like, to even understand that threat. Well, what if the president was a skinwalker? What if he really was a malevolent, evil Native American shaman who took the form of this individual to take revenge on the white man, quote-unquote? Like...
Yes. I kind of lost track of where I was going for a second here, but I totally agree. People are unprepared for the truth about who's been behind the scenes. You know, it's not just human. You know, it's not. It's definitely, especially in these government facilities. These governments were not meant to be the structures that they are now. It's all a structure of control. You know, it's all a structure of keeping the humans the way they want them to be running and the way they want them to be doing things. You know, but there was another thing I wanted to mention. I even had my fingers crossed. I'm trying to remember what it was. Just trying to pull it back for a second. Talking about those.
Spiders?
I totally lost it.
Galactic spiders? Anything you totally about?
I remember. What I was going to say was that, you know, and the more people are doing these, back to the PBS thing, you know, the more people are doing these acts upon themselves and stuff, they are literally rewriting their brain to only be aroused by things of that nature, and then it becomes a whole process of having to break that like any other addiction.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, it's just so important that people realize that they need to ask and go back to organic, natural existence.
Yes,
as an individual, small communities, these huge, like just like you said with the mom and pop shops, like we need to go back, less corporations, more on a person, because that's what gives true people meaning and purpose, is their connection to each other.
Less is more.
You know, and
less
that's why so many
more.
People, yeah, they feel so alone, and they feel so separated, even though they have these social medias and all these types of things.
Yes.
It's because they're not getting that real human connection where someone really knows who they are, where they can share themselves authentically and be seen in the community. community and the tribe that matters to them.
Absolutely. And I think you would have a lot happier society in general. Like, just a lot more positive vibes if people had healthier personal lives. If people were healthier to themselves, if they had more self-respect. Let me just tell you that somehow this would trickle down into better fast food service. This would trickle down to better, like, no, just a better life experience. People would drive more considerately, etc. This would have real-world impact if people at first started respecting themselves and started treating themselves with respect and treating themselves a lot better. But it's because that inversion right there, that fundamental inversion, where they don't think that they're good enough the way they were born. They don't think they're good enough the way they were when it was simple, when it was just enough to be, and then they lose that because of some MK Ultra type trauma through the media or whatever, and then they have to find themselves, they lose themselves, and then they never get themselves back, and it's replaced with just an endless cycle of trend chasing and like just this absurd attention seeking. And this is why you get literally, like, you know, the clown show that we call Earth. It's just people trying to be seen for who they're not and think they are. And it's just, it's, when you see it from above, you're just very, very sad for it all. Yeah, very sad.
It is very sad because if people really, if they had self-care, if they had self-respect, they would be, if you had real caring about, and you could see what you were really doing, even people working at McDonald's and stuff, they really cared about other people. Once it really clicked in, it clicked in for everyone,
yeah,
no one would ever be serving McDonald's again if they knew. They knew what a lot of us in this community know. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's really where we have to start. We have to start helping people build up that they are special, they are important, they do deserve to feel good about themselves.
Exactly.
They are cared for.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. They're worth
it takes
love.
Requiring and sacrificing of the ego, you know,
yeah.
And that's really hard for people.
I read a meme.
It's really hard.
We're both into memes and everything. I read a meme on Instagram recently that kind of summed up that things you liked when you were 12 are good and you should still like them. And I was like, that's kind of what I've been trying to get at. And that makes a lot of sense. Like, the things that you liked when you were a child, those were the things that were right and natural to you. But for some reason, it's society tells you those aren't good enough. And whereas an entire generation is mistaken for trying to indulge in nostalgia, like I said, the corporations are trying to resell you your emotions because they can't profit off legitimate, like, love and things like that of like, the time and the space where it's now gone. They have to constantly recycle it and try to make as much money off it as possible. They never let things just be. That it really comes down to that. Like, what's authentic is natural, and what's natural is authentic. It's as simple as, but everything else is literally from malevolent, extra-dimensional parasites and various evil entities that wish to hijack the human timeline via the individual's life, and by controlling their libido and by their vanity and by all these fears and by their dark desires, they make them go on the dark side for their evil masters to kind of create the gray intended artificial cyborg, you know, clone future that they want. But it's only a matter of time before everyone sees that the reason why they're so dissatisfied is because they have been doing these fundamentally mistaken things, like mistaking pleasure for pain or pain for pleasure, and mixing the marriage bed and like their desires and things like that. Like, they don't understand to keep it simple and just to enjoy the natural attractions that we would all like are born with. Exactly. Don't go with the flow and just let yourself grow and not let you try to constantly reinvent yourself and to be this, like you said, you look at it now, easy us versus them, easy good guys versus bad guys. Anyone who is fake is a bad guy. Anyone who is wearing tons of makeup, anyone who is wearing a wig, anyone who is wearing, you know, I said like you know, it was trying to be who they're not. Anyone who is trying to sell you something that they're not. And this goes to men to toupees too. That's what I'm saying. Like, just be yourself. Like, stop the vanity project. Stop with the plastic surgery. Stop with the tattoos. Stop with all that crap. Just be yourself. Let yourself be. And you don't have to improve or build. It doesn't, because that's where it starts. It becomes this, well, you know, you want to do it. And so, but you keep, it's like, no one can stop you from wanting what's making you miserable, and everyone is somehow addicted to what's making them miserable, and they're convinced it's making them happy, and we all just got to reevaluate our shit and see really what we want to keep, we want to be known for, we want to be remembered for, we want to be able to pass along. And I can tell you, yeah, like 9 out of 10 people, if you really saw what they get up to and you really they do and they're interested in, you know, they would kill themselves out of shame, because their life is built on secrecy. It's built on sneaking and lying and deceit and not being truthful. And that stress of keeping that double life.
It literally is a literal weight on people's bodies if they only do. And I only know this because I have been willing to take off that lead coat.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been willing to try to live a life to where I'd be willing to share everything that I do with people. Like I want to act in a way where there's nothing that I have even in my own conscience to feel shameful about.
Exactly. No, exactly. You know, that's why I started embracing UFOs. I put my name on my that's things like that. Like, this is a kind of continuation from an argument that kind of had where I was like, you know, I put my name on my podcast. I put myself out there. I put my face out there. It's not about me, but I'm not trying to hide. And I think that's the thing. People want to be able to hide. And they always want to be able to constantly be able to deny and hide to themselves. And hide from themselves. And it's all about coming into the light. It's all about just being like, you know, this is authentically who I am. This is what I believe. And I don't care what anyone else has, like society has to think, because it's now me against society and its army of fake clones. The Mothmen are not going to win. The Mothmen are not going to win.
No.
Well, it's
been on that one.
It's been amazing talking to you for another part two for this conversation. I know we ran a little bit long, and I'm sorry for that. You probably are tired. I already see you kind of hoping, you know, to get zoning out. The sunset. No, the sunset. I get it. It's perfect time to kind of close the eyes and rest. No, but definitely thank you for talking to me and everything. Hopefully you'll be on for part three. We'll talk for a third hour on future subjects.
I would love to.
To be decided and everything. Love to have you on, Aurora Diamondheart. Do you mind speaking about your links, where we can find you, your YouTube, your Instagram? I see you're doing lives on there. And it, you know, we've only talked last week.
Right,
I see you're still doing lives after that 1 week. You haven't given up, so that's amazing.
No, I haven't. I've done quite a few of them at this point. So, and I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can come find me at Aurora Diamondheart on YouTube. Or you can find me at Villanelle2 on Instagram. You can message me directly. Or you can find me on Facebook at Aurora Hill.
Mm-hmm.
You can message me there. And lastly, you can always email me at AuroraDiamondheart@gmail.com. So if you have any questions about anything that I do, or want to just know more about me, you're just please, you know, I also do tarot readings. I offer a few services. So please feel free to reach out to me. Oh, absolutely. Can't wait to be back. This
awesome.
Was an absolutely wonderful night again. So appreciate you having me here. Really, thank you. It means a lot.
Mm-hmm. Aw, shucks. Blush.
I see you blushing.
Blush. Oh, blush. I bet you say that to all the podcasters. No.
Oh,
no. Oh. Well, goodness, I got the vapors. All right. Well. No. Well, thank you very much for that lauding appreciation. I mean, I really respect you and your vision and your willingness to tell us your story and your side of things. Thank you, Aurora Diamondheart. This has been Beyond Top Secret Texan. Broadcasting from the Third Coast, the coast with the most, the Gulf Coast of Texas. Iron sharpens iron, a friend sharpens a friend. Namaste and shalom. Everyone out there in Dreamland, use Linktree/BeyondTopSecretTexan to find me on my social media platforms and all my video uploading platforms, as well as my podcast website and channels. And definitely, peace out, guys.